Well, greetings everyone. Here before Christmas on the 20th of December. Praise you, Jesus. That Christmas worship song was so good. Boy, I'm telling you. Kathy and I loved it, and I've written down the title to it because I'm gonna play it here in this house.
Yes.
Amen, honey. That's what we're gonna do. Let's pray right here real quick. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the honor and privilege of speaking on your behalf, of bringing your word and doing the things that you've shown me to do. And just want to bow my heart and yield to you, surrender to you. Oh, Lord, you're so good. I thank you so much, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we could all just yield to you, Holy Spirit. Lord, that you give us ears to hear as we quiet our soul before you. I would say to my soul, wait silently on the Lord. From him is my expectation. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you and I thank you. Okay, Lord, thank you. I'm just going to, Lord, move out. I thank you for utterance in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you what I'm going to speak on tonight is praying in the Spirit. That's the title. Praying in the Spirit. This is something that even people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and do speak in tongues just do not understand how important it is. And as I've grown, you know, even in the last 10 years of my 50 whatever years, it's become more and more a reality to me of how important it is. And matter of fact, I was thinking back, you know, when I got born again, nobody had teachings on this. We were not a part of any fellowship, and we were, you know, we didn't know of any that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. We didn't know about the Word of Faith movement. We didn't know about, you know, the Spirit-filled churches or whatever. If there were, there weren't many. In 1973, but at any rate, we didn't know any of their teachings. And I really think a lot of the teachings that have gone out have been about the way I feel about teachings on tithing. I don't like tithing because it's restrictive. That's what I don't like about it. I don't want somebody to tell me 10%. I might want to give 50%. That's what I'm going to do. But anyway, you can restrict by some of the ways that you teach things and make people think, well, that's it. You check that box. There's always more. And one of the things that we realized, you know, and especially was for me, is when I got filled with the Spirit, I really didn't know the purpose of it. But what I knew was I loved to worship the Lord with it. And you know, in worship now, I mean, I just love to sing in the Spirit And during that worship song that Pastor Ernestine played there, man, I'm telling you, especially that second time through, I was just worshiping the Lord in the Spirit. It was just powerful, powerful. A good way to get started here. So let me say, I've got so many notes. I've got so many pages of notes that I won't get started real good, but I'm going to try to hit some high points. Because I got more than 15 pages. I'm pretty real sure I got more than 15 pages of typewritten pages of notes of things that the Lord has shown me about praying in the Spirit, probably closer to 20. And I'm still learning more. But there are a few things that praying in the Spirit are. I mean, I'm just going to name three right off the bat. One, it is a key that unlocks so much. It is a weapon. It is a shelter. And I've got my own testimonies, and a lot of the ways that I've learned things is by the Lord revealing to me, I want you to do this. I want you to pray in the Spirit over this. Or, you know, or just showing me what to do. And then I realize, so I just gained some knowledge about praying in the Spirit. But praying in the Spirit unlocks so many things. John chapter 14, Gospel of John chapter 14 in verse 26. This is the first part of it. Says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." He does. He teaches us all things. He can bring you revelation knowledge just by quieting your heart and praying in the Spirit, and he will reveal the mysteries of God to you. And he'll reveal revelation knowledge to you. And you know, I had sent a text over to Pastor Ernestine. I was asking her, I said, "Didn't you just do some Bible studies on Andrew Womack's study on the new you and the Holy Spirit?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Good, because, you know, that lays a groundwork." And I'm probably going to repeat some of those things, but that lays a good foundation. And I would say that if you are born again, but you're not yet filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues, then you've got to get that. And I'm just, you know, I tell you, one of the things I've become more and more aware of is that I am a last days prophet. And my job, as described in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 4:11, is that I am for the to be part of the team that equips the saints to do the work of the ministry. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to do some equipping. And so I'm going to talk about some of the things. I'm going to bounce around some because I've tried to gather some of my notes, just bits and pieces out. And I don't know that I'm very organized, but I'm going to talk about some things that it unlocks. It does unlock revelation knowledge to us. But I'll tell you something else that it unlocks too. For me, it unlocks my ability to quiet my soul, and it unlocks the Lord's ability to help me experience His rest and help me experience His encouragement and refreshing. And, you know, and I do every morning, I'll do that. And every morning I start out the day praying in the Spirit. And sometimes it depends on how, you know, how much sleep I've gotten that night or how I slept or whatever. But, you know, sometimes I need to pray longer in the Spirit than I do other times. But if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit, you need to get up with Pastor Ernestine. And then you need to get moving forward with that. Because it is not something it's just not a trivial thing. It's probably, to me, it's the most important gift of the nine gifts of the Spirit that Corinthians talks about. Because in my lifetime and walk with the Lord, the praying in the Spirit the Lord has unlocked all the other gifts, all the other nine gifts to me, because of the gift of praying in the Spirit. It unlocks them to you. Not at our discretion, it's as the Spirit wills, but it unlocks that. But, you know, I was telling you about how I pray in the Spirit in the morning. It just allows me to help me quiet my soul, but refreshing. I mean, sometimes when, you know, I just know something just not quite right. You know, I feel like I've stepped out of His rest. Or I've stepped away from being aware of His presence, or something, you know, during the day. And I'll just pause, and I'll just quiet myself, and I'll just begin to pray in the Spirit, or I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll sing in the Spirit a lot sometimes. I mean, I'll do it throughout the day. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit, and I find myself, I'm doing it when I drive the car, when I have to run errands or do something, when I'm by myself. I'm singing in the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit, and I wind up going to places like go to the grocery store or the, you know, a whatever, a department store, whatever, you know, Walmart or somewhere. And I catch myself praying in the spirit, you know, as I'm walking through. And sometimes I didn't realize that I'm, you know, I'm not silent. I mean, sometimes I can do it pretty silently, but sometimes not. And I realize that people are looking at me a little bit, you know, so. But you get a habit to doing it. It's a good thing because it always, I mean, refresh. I get so refreshed. In Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12 says, "For with the stammering lips and with a foreign tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he has said, this is the rest, wherewith you shall cause, you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing." So I you know, that's the thing. Now, speaking of praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. And so, you know, as I began to learn my in my walk with the Lord, and early I learned, I use it in worship when I'm worshiping the Lord. And then I learned to use it when something happened that I'm in a crisis and now I need to just pray in the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that's going to bring, but I just do it. And I remember when, you know, when I got born again, there wasn't a church that preached the word, really. And they preached salvation, but they didn't really preach anything but that. And you know, how to live and so forth, you know, but they didn't know anything about the depth of the word, you know, and nobody was doing that. There were no churches around, no New Testament churches in anywhere near us. And there was a meeting going on in another county, and it was probably 45 minutes to an hour drive. Well, we would pile up, you know, a group of us got born again, swept into the kingdom. It was probably 30 of us or so. But we would pile up in a few cars, you know. I could get, you know, how when you're young. I was the oldest one in our group, 23 years old. When you're young, you just pile up a whole bunch of people in a car. We could get about 10 people in my car. And we'd drive, and I was, you know, we were poor. And, you know, and I had been a criminal and a drug dealer. So when I got born again, I lost, you know, my way of making a living. And I had to start out just at the bottom of the rung of the ladder as a laborer and helper on a carpenter crew. So I didn't have much money, but I did have a car. But all of my tires in my car were pretty slick. We used to call them May Pops, and it may pop any minute, you know. Well, we would have adventures as we would go to these meetings. They would have them every Sunday afternoon, and we would drive out to this county. And on this farm, they would have them, and they'd be 100 people out there. And most of them were converted, you know, hippies, you know, or drug people that were in drugs and different things, you know. And so, but we're driving out there one day, and all of a sudden, tire goes flat. Bloop, bloop, bloop. And somebody says, what are we going to do? And the only thing I could think of, I says, everybody, right now, start praying in the Spirit. And we just began to pray in the Spirit, and I said, worship Him, pray in the Spirit. And, you know, we got caught up in praying in the Spirit, and before we knew it, that tire was fixed. It was all pumped back up, and here we go down the road. It didn't just happen then. I mean, going to these meetings, we probably encountered that and running out of gas. Running out of gas, and we're going to pray in the Spirit. Everybody pray in the Spirit. We're going to worship the Lord, and here we, you know, it's spitting and sputtering and cutting off. We're just coasting, and all of a sudden, here we go, down the road. And, you know, this was just back in the days when they didn't have any money. It didn't take much, you know. I mean, you could probably put $1 of gas in the car, and you could go for a little while. But that was another thing I learned. Well, okay, well, now I know I need to just pray in the Spirit when things come up. And I was learning that, and but the praying in the Spirit just locks so much. You know, if I get tired and discouraged and, you know, with negative circumstances or whatever, if my emotions begin to get the better of me, and I'll just say, wait a minute, I'm going to get still, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. You know, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And I'll get refreshed every time. And before you know it, I'm in His joy. I'm enjoying His love again. You know, and then so another thing the Holy Spirit told me was that praying in the Spirit is a weapon. Now, it can manifest in many different ways. Okay, it's a weapon when you need to pray for people or a certain situation. Now, you've got to understand that you don't have, he hasn't given us authority to pray for everything on the planet. Matter of fact, some scriptures in, I didn't pull them out, but there's scriptures in Corinthians. Paul's talking about, you know, praying about, asking people to pray that the sphere of his influence would be enlarged. Because unless he had a direction from the Lord to go into a new area or he was invited, he had no authority to go there. In other words, he could go there, but nothing's going to happen. And, you know, I've known people that can bear witness to that, that I'm going to go to so-and-so, and they'd go, and then everything just fell apart because the Lord didn't tell them to go. And, you know, we have a certain sphere of influence. Can't be like the ladies that win, you know, the Miss America contest or Miss Universe. Well, what is it you'd like to say? Well, I'd like to say that I want peace on the whole earth. That's a wasted wish because we don't have the authority for all that. But we do have authority to pray over people within our sphere of influence. And, you know, and I've used this to pray over my family members that were in trouble. And so in Romans 8, verse 26 and 27, says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. What weakness? Because we don't know what we're doing. I've had situations come up, and I've got some going on right now because I got a big family now. I mean, we're great-grandparents, you know. And so, you know, when you got seven children and their families, you know, they 13 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, something's going to be going on, you know. And so we got things going on right now, but you know, I don't know how to pray for these certain situations sometimes. I have no idea. I know what I want, but I want to pray according to the Spirit. So sometimes I'll just pray in the Spirit over it for a while until he gives me something, how to pray for it in English, or I don't necessarily have to have that at all. I'll just pray in the Spirit over it. And so in Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Verse 27, and he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So I'm going to give you, this is not my story, from someone else. I remember hearing about a woman who was awakened in the middle of the night with a sudden urge to pray. And she didn't know what about, but she just knew she needed to pray. So she just said, well, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And so she did. She didn't know what it was for. She just began to pray in the Spirit, and she started praying with fervency, she said. And, you know, without stopping for over an hour. And then at the end of the hour, she had some peace come over her. She said, well, I'm going back to sleep. And she did. And later she found out that at that very time that the Lord told her to pray, to get wake up and pray, her missionary son had been in a dangerous situation overseas, and God had miraculously delivered him. And she hadn't known any details, but the Spirit did. The Holy Spirit knew it, see. And that amazing, because of that, the son was delivered. It is a weapon, and it's a powerful gift, absolutely powerful gift. You know, we don't always see the whole picture of things that the Lord wants us to pray about. We don't know the facts, and whatever facts we have are not all of it. And we certainly need to, you know, what we need to know is not about what we want, but what does he want? What does the Lord want? Because The Holy Spirit, you know, the Spirit of God knows all things and searches all things and understands exactly what's needed and what needs to be prayed and how it needs to be prayed and when it needs to be prayed. And you know, when we yield ourselves to Him to pray in the Spirit, we're giving Him control of the most powerful instrument we have. These words, our mouth and our words. You know, our words, they can either speak life or death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know, in Proverbs, I forgot which one. Our words, and letting Him direct our words for His perfect purposes. That His purposes be fulfilled through these gifts. The gift of, especially the gift of tongues. So it's a mighty weapon. It's a mighty weapon. I'm going to read, you know, I hadn't seen this before, but I saw it recently. Just think about this now. These are some things I've been learning about the weapons of our warfare and the armor that we're supposed to put on. So in Ephesians 6:10, I'm going to read through kind of quickly. But Ephesians 6:10, it says, I'm going to read 8 verses here. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, or in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authority, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore. Having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and verse 15 says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, verse 16, and in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in verse 18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit. That's part of it. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and all supplication. Praying in the Spirit with all of that. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making a supplication for all the saints. Why? Because when you pray in tongues, you're praying God's perfect will. We read about that in Romans chapter 8. The enemy can't stand it. He can't understand it. He can't block it. And he can't twist it. Because, see, you don't understand it either. It's like speaking in a code. It's encryption. It's Holy Ghost encryption that only heaven understands. And in a world full of spiritual battles over your family, your community, your nation, or whatever, your community, your local government, you know, the people in your, and maybe in your local assembly of the body of Christ, or the people that are you're ministering to. You know, this is not a gift to leave unused. It's not a gift to leave unused at all. And I'm going to tell you what I've learned. Every one of these pieces of the armor, you know, I've heard this taught that every bit of it is defensive thing except for the sword of the Spirit. I don't believe that anymore because the Lord has taught me otherwise. And I remember one time I took off my breastplate of righteousness and beat the devil with it. When I was interceding for someone, I was praying for him in the Spirit for a while. And it was a son of a real good friend of mine who had gotten caught up, you know, in the homosexual lifestyle. He had once walked with the Lord and knew the Lord so deeply, but he'd been, it's a long story, but he moved into Oklahoma City. And you know, I told my friend, I said, well, I'm going to intercede for him this weekend. So I began to intercede. I was praying in the Spirit, and I began to pray in the natural. And I'm casting down and binding the strongholds there. And immediately a demonic presence came up into my face, you know, my eyes are closed, and while I'm praying. It was like it was rude, you know. But it came right up in my face like it was trying to intimidate me. And I said, "Lord, what's that?" He said, that's a demon. He considers himself the lead demon over the city and the area of Oklahoma City. And he's here to intimidate you. And I got so tickled. I said, you know, I just started directing my attention. I said, oh, good. I said to the demon, I said, you know, I'm glad you're here. I love to fight. I said, but you don't understand who you're messing with, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And immediately I saw it begin to try to get away from me. His eyes got real big. And and the Lord said, that's your breastplate. You just whooped him with your breastplate. Well, you know, I mean, he just ran away. But I'm just telling you, don't limit your understanding. Don't limit what the Lord can do. But especially remember that at the end of all this, he said, praying at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. You know, because when you pray in tongues, you're praying God's perfect will. The enemy can't understand it. And I told you all that. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 14:2. I'm trying to go fast because I got so much I wanted to try to cover. But anyway, for one who speaks in tongues speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Mysteries in the Spirit. As, you know, as when Paul spoke God's mysteries, you know, in tongues, he built himself up. And he got revelation knowledge, and he wrote books that are in the Bible. And as you pray in tongues, you build yourself up. It says in Jude, verse 20, only one chapter, verse 20, building yourself up in your most holy love, most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. Build, you know, so as you pray, you build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. And the revelation knowledge will come to you. So many of us treat tongues like it's some kind of a badge. And, you know, I mean, I don't have a lot of patience for it. So when I get in a meeting and somebody, you know, is wanting everybody to know that they speak in tongues, you can tell it. I mean, I can tell it. And I just go over there and take them by the arm and say, look, you don't need to let everybody know that you're spiritual, you know. Everybody knows now. So if you want to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. If you're going to pray out loud in this meeting, you better be prepared to bring an interpretation. And then it's going to be judged because it's a prophetic utterance. So, but many of us treat it like a badge and something to prove, you know, that we've been baptized in the Spirit and we want everybody to know. But something to, you know, like maybe a something to stir up a prayer meeting. Let me see if I can help this along. I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost here. You know, and that's wrong. Okay? Or it's maybe it's something to make us feel holy. We just pray in the Spirit and it's supposed to make us feel holy or special. Or, you know, but it's so much more. I mean, it's a weapon. It's a key. It's a divine frequency that unlocks the realms of power that we have barely tapped into. I've just barely tapped into understanding. And I'm going to read some things to you that I started reading some things that some of the old saints wrote about this, you know. And this is from Catherine Kuhlman's, you know, her learning from the Lord. And she learned some things just from encountering the Lord and having visions and the Lord taking her and showing her things. And so here's what she said. She said, I saw angels moving at the sound of spirit-filled tongues, demons trembling, strongholds crumbling. I saw prayers in tongues weaving through the heavens like lightning, striking targets on earth with precision no human mind can calculate. And then Jesus looked at me with such intensity and said, this gift is not for show. It is not for pride. It is for war, and it's for my glory. And listen, the enemy doesn't fear your opinion. He doesn't fear your arguments. or your, you know, or yours or my well-rehearsed Bible studies or well-rehearsed, you know, sermons. But he flees at the sound of heaven's language pouring through a surrendered vessel. A surrendered vessel. So Catherine Kuhlman goes on. She said, Jesus took me by the hand and said, let me show you what this gift is truly meant to do. She says, I saw in the spirit a great war, not of, with flesh and blood, but in unseen realms where glistening where they're glistening like a sword forged in heaven itself was the gift of tongues. Every time a believer opens their mouth in faith, their sword flashed with divine fire. That sword flashed with divine fire cutting through darkness, breaking chains, releasing angels into battle. Now, you know that's what happened when that lady said that she was awakened by the Lord in the middle of the night, told her to pray, and she didn't know what for. But this is what happened. The Lord had her praying in the spirit, and it was about her son in a foreign country. I've heard these stories like this from many people. It's happened with me too. But Catherine Kuhlman goes on to say, I watched his prayers of unknown tongues hit their mark with perfect precision, just shifting hearts and awakening and miracles unfolding because someone yielded to the Spirit and prayed beyond their own understanding. Do you realize what this means? When you pray in tongues, you're not just mumbling nothing to the sky. You're releasing the perfect will of God in the earth. And then she says, I was shown a vision of a believer, just an ordinary person like you and me. Well, I don't know how Catherine Kuhlman could call herself ordinary, but just kneeling, she said, an ordinary person kneeling in prayer. As they began to speak in tongues, something extraordinary happened in the unseen realm. Their words became like living fire shooting up like lightning towards the throne. Those words came rushing back down as divine commands, striking with precision enemy strongholds that stood moments before. Scattered in terror, they recognized the language of heaven's court being decreed upon the earth. And then she goes on to talk about Romans 8, 26 and 27. She understood it now in a much greater way, in a way, you know, that she'd ever understood it, how the Spirit makes intercession for us. Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, but they can be uttered when you yield your voice to the Holy Ghost. When you yield yourselves to the Holy Spirit, then they can't be uttered. The Lord whispered to my spirit, Catherine Kuhlman says, tell them the battles they're, listen to this, tell them the battles they're losing are all the ones that they're not fighting in the spirit. All the battles that you're losing are all the ones that you're not fighting in the spirit. If you fight them in the spirit, you win. Speaking in tongues is not just your private prayer language. Tongues is a divine encryption that reveals secrets about coming moves of God, about warnings of hidden dangers, specific strategies for breakthrough. You know, I've seen this. We don't see it a lot these days, but when a word comes during a service, it doesn't have to be, it can be in a Bible study, it can be in a prayer meeting, it can be, you know, in a church service during worship or whatever, but a message in tongues comes, and then there is and if it's the Lord, I've heard it many times when it wasn't, and then there's an interpretation that is the Lord, there can be a warning in there, there can be a wisdom from God, a breakthrough can take place. I've seen it where an interpretation came and nobody knew what they were talking about. But there was one person there that had come from a foreign country and it was for them. And they stood up and said, that was for me. This is what happened on the way here, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you just don't know. So, we grieve the Holy Spirit so much. We just grieve Him because we're not willing to yield to Him this way. and pray in the Spirit. And we need to yield to Him. You know, that's why, you know, Paul said, do not forbid to speak with tongues. But many churches have. I mean, Spirit-filled churches have. I was in one. But I didn't obey it. I stayed in trouble. And because I was on the worship team. And sometimes I'd just be worshiping along. And when I wasn't the worship leader, and there was another guy, and he was a great worship leader. And if we'd get a little silent part, and all of a sudden I just began to sing in the Spirit, and he would come right along with me, and we'd both get in trouble, you know. But the Lord took us to a place in worship after that that just we were able to go there, and the entire, you know, whatever, 500 people were able to go with us. But he says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39. And he was warning us about exactly what we've done, you know, in the churches. And anyway, and then Catherine Kuhlman said, the Lord told me this. The Lord said, I am calling my bride to walk in authentic power, in the authentic power of my Spirit. Now, this is some of what I've been teaching on Thursdays. But tongues, the Lord said, is a major key to this. Tongues is a major key to what the Lord wants His bride to walk in the authentic power of the Spirit. Tongues is a major key. And then Catherine says that Jesus opened the book of Acts before my spiritual eyes and said, this is a standard. It's not your denominational traditions, not your comfortable routines, not your standard, teachings and traditional teaching and so forth. He said, when my early church spoke in tongues, cities were shaken. Sinners fell under conviction, and my gospel spread like wildfire. Why have you settled for less? I mean, that's pretty incredible. And then Catherine says, and the Lord gave me a vision of what's coming. This is good. A company of believers who will walk in such authentic power that their very speech will carry heavenly weight. This goes along with the things I've been teaching on Thursdays. And when they pray in tongues, hospitals will empty. When they interpret tongues, governments will tremble. When they prophesy, entire regions will turn to Christ. This isn't hyperbole. This is our inheritance. And the time for deciding is now. Jesus showed me two paths before the church, where we continue in a half-heartedness and in increasing deception, and another where we embrace full surrender and see unprecedented glory. The choice is ours. I've got so many more notes, but oh my goodness. Just imagine for a moment that you're in a situation where words fail you. I've been there. And your heart is heavy. And maybe you're carrying a burden for a loved one. And you're faced with a crisis that seems impossible. And you ought to pray, but your mind can't even figure out what words to pray. So you open your mouth to speak to God, but you just sigh before the Lord. You don't know what to do, and you tell Him so. I mean, have you been there? I've been there many times. But I've learned. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. That's where the beauty of tongues comes in. And the Holy Spirit steps in and takes over, giving you utterance in a heavenly language that your mind doesn't understand. And you're not in it. There's one of my pastors that I counsel and minister to. I got to meet with him and talk to him. But you're not supposed to go try to take, well, when I was praying in tongues, I said these words. Now I'm going to go look up what that means. No, we're not supposed to be trying to translate Okay. Interpretation, one thing, but we're not translators. But, you know, we're speaking mysteries of to God. We're speaking His mysteries. Mysteries that bypass human reasoning and mysteries that the enemy cannot interfere with. And Paul tells us in, again, in 14:2, he says, "For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit," unquote. That's what that's about. Now, I remember a time, and I think I might end with this. I'm trying to remember when we got started. Anyway, there was a time when one of my sons, several years ago, I think it was like 2008 or 9, he at one time walked with the Lord so close. And, I mean, he knew the Word better than me. And he was a teenager. And some things happened in the family. You know, his mom, you know, decided to leave and walked out on all of us. And maybe I shouldn't be saying all this. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But anyway, they might see this recording or hear it later in the family. But anyway, it had such a negative impact on all of the three younger children. And but this one young man, this one son, got off into drugs and got into heroin and became a heroin addict. And he was in a horrible shape. I mean, he was in bad shape. And, you know, hanging with a bad crowd. I mean, he could have died at any moment. Because I know that bunch. That's the kind of crowd I knew, I understood from my old life. So I didn't know how to pray. I was in that place where I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And you know what? And I went to the Lord. I said, "Lord, show me what to do and I'll do it." And the Lord said this, "I want you to pray in the Spirit over your son." And so I began to pray in the Spirit over him. And I don't mean... Now, what he told me, he says, not about your emotion. You know, it's not, if you think it's your emotion's got something to do with it, and many people do, then you're getting glory to you. You're trying to take glory to yourself, like you got something to do with this. Yeah, what we have to do with this is that we yield. That's what we need to do. Okay, we need to yield. So I yielded. And he said, it's not about your emotion or not about what you're thinking. And it's about you focusing on praying in the Spirit over your son. And I began to pray in the Spirit over him hours a day, throughout the day. And in a short span of time, the Lord ordered some circumstances. And anyway, things began to change. Some things that he had counted on fell apart. And the Lord will order your circumstances, you know it. And so he was set free. And the Lord said, that's because you prayed in the Spirit. And it was a weapon. And I've just only touched on what it is, what the things that it unlocks. I've just barely touched on it. I mean... It can unlock so many things. We're praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, when I've been teaching on these Thursdays, I've known for a long, long time. I mean, for 50 years, that one day I'd be teaching on it, but I was really intimidated by that because I knew what I had learned about quieting the soul, bringing in the soul in submission to the Spirit, and about abiding in Him, actively doing it, not positionally, but experientially. And knowing Him intimately and experientially, I understood how to do it all, but I didn't know how to show somebody else how to do that or how to teach on it. But as I began, when the Lord told me it was time, I knew it was time for me to pray in the Spirit and wait on Him. And that's how every week, I never know what I'm going to speak at the next Thursday, whatever. I never know. I pray in the Spirit and I wait on the Lord. And because of praying in the Spirit, I get revelation knowledge. I get an understanding of this is what He showed me to do But I never knew exactly why, and I never knew the scriptures around it. And then, but when I'm praying the Spirit now, He shows me the why, and He gives me the scripture references for it. See, you understand what I'm saying? He unlocked it. He can unlock the word for you. He can unlock understanding for you. He will unlock the things that you're called to do that you don't know how to do yet. And the things you don't even know you're called to do yet. But he could begin to unlock all of that. Right? Let's see, there's one more thing. Well, maybe I better stop. I think I'm going to stop right there, Pastor Ernestine. And, you know, just maybe I'll close out in prayer.
Yes, Robert, close out with prayer, and then we'll see if there's any questions.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Father. Lord, I know I was rushing through, Lord, but this is so important. Matter of fact, I don't know of anything more important of all the gifts and all the things that you provide for us than that we yield ourselves in faith to pray in the Spirit. As you direct and as you show us, and as long as you show us until you give us release or peace. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for utterance. I believe you've given us words to, you know, hearts to receive, a heart to absorb. And now, Lord, that we would, by faith, be able to respond to your word. Respond to you now. Respond to you. Say, Lord, help me to do that. Remember to pray in the Spirit more or something. And I know you will, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for your word and for those that hear it now and will hear it later. And, Lord, I love you, Jesus. I bless these people. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope this was a help to somebody.